Good morning, everybody, once again. Magda Kupiec speaking. Welcome to Eurocash Group Consolidated Full Year and Fourth Quarter Financial Results Presentation. Sorry for yesterday's inconvenience. Today we've got a little bit less time, so maybe I will just pass the voice to my boss, our CFO. He will provide you with the most important information about our results.
Good morning. I would like also to apologize for yesterday's inconvenience. Good news is we are not a telecommunication company and we have some problems with technological, you know, connections. So we'll talk about food. Maybe I should add to what Magda said that today we don't have Tomek Polański with us. We'll come back to the topic of Eurocash.pl during our conference after Q1 results. I will try also to make a little bit this presentation more concise than yesterday and at the end address part of the questions, which of course we've got over the yesterday. I think that's the slide more or less where we stopped yesterday. So let me come back to the explanation where we are very briefly. If you are looking at the top of the slide from the perspective of market segments, you can see based on the Nielsen data that still discounters are growing the fastest on the market. What's also very visible is that the hypermarkets are losing market share much more faster than in previous years. And double-clicking and supermarkets as well are growing at the historical speed. If you are double-clicking into the small format, the worst performing is specialized segment. Mostly in this segment you have the petrol station. So in reality, due to COVID lockdown and the lower mobility of population, of course, it's all of this makes sense that people were commuting much less. And then the small convenience stores between 40 to 100 square meters were growing 2%, small supermarkets 0.5%, and the small groceries, which is probably the biggest surprise on the slide, were growing 0.7%. I said surprise because in reality, in previous years, that was the segment under constant decrease. So again, I think from the perspective of lockdown, it only means that we're sitting closer home and we're using the stores which are nearby rather than really commuting and trying to buy bigger quantities. If we're buying bigger quantities, for sure it was in the discounters last year. At the bottom of the slide, we have PMR agency data, which is showing a little bit different split because this is the stores between 0 to 500 square meters, so a little bit enlarged database. And what we are illustrating here is the number of the transaction, which is the gray bar, and then the average value of the transaction, which is green line, and then the number of SKUs or products per purchase, which is the red line. What's observed is that during the first lockdown, the number of transactions went down quite dramatically, and then at the same time, the number of the average ticket increased also very significantly. During the Q3, when last time we had chance to talk with you, in reality, that was more or less the normal business. And then again, after closing the economy in November, again, we were observing similar trend like in the March, April last year. So the number of transactions going down and the average basket is going up. Also, maybe that's the time to tell you that beginning of the year was quite similar. So, quite slow increase of sales top line in January and February. We're looking forward for March, as I believe that this year we'll have Easter 2 weeks earlier than last year. So depending, of course, on the demand and the consumer, but it seems that we would have part of this demand shift towards Q1 from Q2 like it was last year. A little bit about Eurocash. I think that was the good year from the perspective of what we achieved perspective of macro environment. In reality, we're balancing all negatives with positives. So in reality, the negatively effective segments like Horeca, Contigo, Inmedio were very well balanced with the performance of sales to the normal regular supermarkets, independent stores, and also franchise stores. And so on the wholesale side, in reality, we are going forward with the consolidation around Eurocash.pl. I will try to give you a little bit more glance on this on the next slides. And then in retail, we finished the integration of the assets. And right now, we are much more in the expansion phase, which, as you know, yesterday we announced also one of the acquisitions. So I will try to cover this SSR plus to yesterday's day, because the announcement was really after the trading. And in project, of course, Frisco is a big issue this year, but also a project like ABC on Wheels or Duży Ben are developing very nicely. Maybe that's the time I would like to touch one of the issues which came out yesterday, so annualization of the our results. Let me tell you very honestly that I think that, you know, all of this started to live its own life due to the fact that part of the analyst really made a job which was a little bit inappropriate from our perspective without asking us, and then, you know, drawing the conclusions without really basis. So in reality, how it should be read. If you are looking in our financial statements, note 29, page 95, you can annualize the other operating incomes and costs. So the starting point is plus 49 in 2020 and plus 30 in 19. Then if you are annualizing by VAT revaluation of Frisco, additional provision for tax and additional provision for restructuring, this year you are coming to positive number plus 15. Last year, you need to also remember that we had the earnout from PayUp, 23 million. So we are coming to 7 million. In reality, as you can see on the slide, additional costs connected with COVID are around 15 million. So we really believe we have good performance, not like it was in part of the notes. And in reality, in the year of big pressure on the very many segments, the achievement of being more or less flat year on year, I think should be appreciated. Let me go to the wholesale. So in the wholesale, as I said, the big discussion is about Eurocash.pl. As you can see in our most advanced segment, Eurocash distribution, already we have 80% of sales more or less done through the platform. So 4.6B in sales numbers. Eurocash Cash & Carry going a little bit different direction, which I think it's for the clients of Cash & Carry more important. So it's application. Already we have around 12,000 users. Altogether in Cash & Carry we have around 40,000 clients. So still, as you can see, there is a growth, there is a place to grow. Food service, so our Horeca business, in reality, we are selling 42% through this app, but please also remember that that was really the segment affected by COVID situation and pandemic in 2020. And Eurocash service started only in the last quarter last year to put the clients on the platform. Altogether, we have regular clients around 30,000. So as you can see right now, we have 3,300 users, which is representing more or less 5% of the sales through the platform. So then we'll have, as I said, the plan was to have a little bit bigger discussion about digitalization of wholesale. We'll postpone it for the Q1 and, results. Because today also we would like to share with you a little bit logic of going into a joint venture with Arhelan. Finalizing the wholesale topic, as you can see, the results are flat year on year in reality. But please remember that also in the base of sales for the last year, 2020, we have two effects which are not adjusted here. One of them is Orlen contract, 450 million. Another one is drop in Horeca, which is around 300 million. So together 750. If you would like to adjust, which anyway, like with the discussion about one-offs in P&L, I think always you have, you know, some one-offs one year on another year, so not to go into this direction, which is quite artificial. We are not showing to this, but if you would adjust this, of course, the growth rate is closer to 5% on the top line. And the profitability is mostly driven by Eurocash.pl, so our cash and carry business and distribution, which I think it's not a big surprise here. In retail, as I said, that was the year of finishing integration of Delikatesy Centrum. All of the stores right now are operating under one brand, so we are not measuring internally any performance of Exmilo or Exeko. For us, it's own stores under the brand of Delikatesy Centrum, and that's the way how we'll present in future. Of course, the like-for-likes of Delikatesy Centrum, by definitions, are a little bit lower than the competition for two reasons. You will have one of the competitors' conference call soon, so you will see that their model is really expansion model. They are opening stores, so in reality, always your like-for-like is affected by the expansion, and in the sense that the stores are starting, you know, from zero and go very fast in the first 2 years. To have comparable number, I think we should look into mature stores. So after 3 years time, and then the gap, I believe it's much, much lower. And the second point here is that in reality, we'll more and more put a little bit more light on the fact that franchise stores are performing better than our own stores. So in reality, you have very well implemented concept of Delikatesy Centrum in franchise stores. And then you have restructuring case, which, you know, it's slowly proving to be turned around in own stores. What's important to mention, it's also that Delikarta, which is 2.2 million clients, customers using this Delikarta, it's serving more than 40% of sales already. So, you know, it's very welcome from the perspective of having the personalized offer and personal promotions. Now, let me talk a little bit about Arhelan. Arhelan itself, as maybe part of you knows, it's running its operations in the corner of northeast of Poland. We are talking about 98 stores. The sales last year was around 500 million Polish zloty. Average store size is 370 square meters, so more or less like Milawos. They have own distribution center in Bielsk Podlaski, which is important for us because I think we had this discussion a few quarters ago that at some point we'll need exactly in this region new distribution center to cover all our needs at Eurocash level. And then, you know, what's very important that Arhelan was also opening stores very fast in 1820. So altogether, they added 33 stores as an expansion. What we are trying to illustrate on this slide is its coverage of our own stores, because in reality, of course, below on the map, we could mark, you know, a lot of green dots of franchise stores. As you know, it's more than 1,000. But in reality, you know, Arhelan is really, from the geographical point of view, very nice fit. The deal is signed in a way that it's a joint venture, so we'll have the 50-50 at the end. Of course, it's conditional to WOKiK condition. We're not expecting here any issues. Of course, we performed the review of potential Coflink stores, and we don't see them. But it will take some time. So the price and the final result is going to be determined by auditor. That's why we are not sharing at this stage. But, you know, it's going to come together with WOKiK transaction. I hope rationale of the deal I explained to you. And the last point is that Arhelan is joining Delikatesy Centrum. So we are going to operate in the same model in future. Coming back to the retail in 2020, again, it's story here. It's very similar like Jose, so very flat year on year. Again, I think from the perspective of the macroeconomic environment, it's quite visible and good achievement. Please also remember that in this segment we have Inmedio, which are press kiosk. So in reality, they were partly closed or almost closed because they are located in the shopping malls in big number. So the fact is that, you know, the decrease of Inmedio EBITDA, it's around 12 million Polish zloty. So altogether, you know, the performance of Delikatesy Centrum, you can also calculate for yourself if it's needed. And the project segment, the one which is under review right now, it's Contigo, and I think it's not a big surprise because even, you know, the Douglas, which is the big chain very well established for the years, is right now announcing closure of the offline stores and then moving much more into online. So exactly the same is happening in Contigo. Unfortunately, the model which was suitable for the shopping malls right now needs to be revised, and what we are doing, we stop the expansion of the new stores, and at the same time we are investing in online. Duży Ben, in reality, if you would stop the project as of now, within few months, it would have the break-even point at the project level. Of course, it's expansion model like I mentioned in comparison with the competition. So in reality, we want to open more or less, you know, around 500 stores within next 3-4 years. So that's the ambition here. And then the break-even on the total network should come, you know, at the middle of 2020. And then the Frisco, probably the biggest discussion, which we had the special presentation with the attendance of Frisco CEO last quarter. So I will not repeat it, but the developments from the last quarter are that we entered the second city, Wrocław, very nice performance there above the business plan. And yesterday we extended the capacity in Warsaw. So we extended this automated warehouse, which we are talking about for a while. because the demand in Warsaw in reality was not fully fulfilled. So we see the opportunity here to increase the sales. Probably in the second quarter, you could expect the next city, and then we want to roll out the model into all big cities in Poland, like it was mentioned last quarter. From the segmental perspective, the biggest, of course, impact here is Frisco. So please remember that from accounting perspective and the numbers we are looking here at, we consolidate Frisco for half a year. So you can see only the performance of second half. It's 112 million Polish zloty sales. And the EBITDA impact in this 6 months was around 3 million Polish zloty. All of this ends in the financial statements, the consolidated financial statements. Let me only add two points, which also we can check in our financial statements. But first, it's financial cost, because you can be a little bit dissatisfied with the level. The fact is that we have revaluation of the IFRS 16 contracts in euro, and due to fact that zloty was depreciating so fast in December, in reality we had the revaluation provision here recorded negative ones, amounting altogether 23 million Polish zloty. So that's something which is destroying the connection between EBIT and the gross profit. And then our effective tax rate is higher than nominal one and higher than last year, mostly due to fact that how we organize our group from the legal perspective. We have all of the joint ventures for very many reasons in the separate legal entities. And of course, for example, due to fact that Contigo was right now, its business model is under review, we decided not to create any deferred taxation from the losses of the new project. So that's the main reason of increased tax rate here. So altogether, we delivered results a little bit lower than last year. We stated in our financial statements that as a principle, we would like to come back to the policy of paying dividends. However, at this time, we didn't discuss it yet with our supervisory board also or internally, so I cannot give you the much more details at this stage. From cash flow perspective, stable situation. So as you can see, the company is financing itself in the similar way like in previous years. We have a little bit 2 days increase in the cash conversion cycle to negative 24 days. So as we discussed in September, in reality, the temporary decrease was really coming from the mix change towards tobacco, which, as we explained very many times, tobacco is really at the end bringing us the positive working capital, and we need to invest some of it to grow further. And net debt, no problem at all with the covenant. So, stable level before IFRS and after IFRS. The point maybe worth to mention at this stage is that last year we increased maturity of our balance sheet quite significantly. So during this difficult time of pandemic, financial institutions, trusted us. So I would like to thank them. And we increase our financing to 3 years with normal revolving facility, 4 years with EBRD. And finally, we enter also the bond market with 5 years bond to have it ready also if needed further to rebuild the balance sheet. So that's probably all from my perspective. And I think Magda will open line for the questions. Yeah?
Yes. And in fact, we've got first question from Michał Majerski. Question about negative one-off, minus 36 million. Do you see more doubtful receivables on your balance sheet? You decided to clear the portfolio having positive one-offs.
Now, the fact is as follows. If you are looking into our historical financial statements, the all of the disputes with tax office are there for long, so it shouldn't be a surprise. The fact is that also as a board, we are not believing that at the end, we simply pay this taxation. However, the fact is also that the tax offices changes their policies and minds from historical ones. So being on the prudent side, we decided to create this provision. Most of this, all of this relates to the trademark discussion which we have with them. And as I said, I believe in our financial statements, you have this note for the last 2 years. So simply the only change is that we created provision now. And coming back to the balance sheet, I don't see any balance sheet because that was, I'm sorry, the second discussion. We don't have any big items, you know, on the balance sheet I'm aware about to create any other provision.
So we are waiting for your question right now. I don't see any other question. Maybe we answered yesterday.
Yeah, I hope I'm really, you know, embarrassed by yesterday. We tried to somehow to catch up with what happened. So sorry for all of that. If you don't have any other questions or you need to digest a little bit, you know, what is here. Oh, sorry.
We've got from Łukasz Wachełko. Can you provide us with details on profitability of Arhelan and value of the deal?
No, so at this stage, I wouldn't like to do it for the simple reason. Right now, the financial statements are going to be subject of the audit with the independent Big Four company. And then also part of this audit, it's also checking annualizations, normalizations. So one of the biggest normalization we have to in reality. So we are not buying real estate. It stays at the site of our partner. And then we'll pay rent. So that's probably the big adjustment. And another big adjustment is really reflecting the fact that, you know, part of the stores were closed or part of the stores were open. If you are doing all of this, you know, if you are looking into financial statements of Arhelan, which I believe are in register, the size of EBITDA should be around, you know, 80, 20 million.
Okay, next question. Retail tax, how much did you pay?
Oh, very little. I can't remember right now, but we calculated that we are paying in reality only at the level of own stores, because all our own stores, so Echo and Mila, are placed in one legal entity. And the construction of this taxation is done in a way that you are paying based on the legal entity. So we calculated at the beginning of the year that our total exposure for the full year for the all groups should be somewhere between 15-20 million. If I remember correctly. So I'm sorry, but I can't really remember what we paid on monthly basis, but it was not a big number.
Another question from Michał Potera. Please comment on the retail tax impact on the sector.
That's a very interesting question, because as you know, the whole discussion with the European Union was really about this tax-free rate, tax-free amount of before taxation, which in reality this exempt sales annual sales, which is exempt, it's around 207 million Polish zloty, again at the level of one legal entity. So in reality, the construction is the result of this construction is that at the end, the all small independent stores are not paying this tax at all. So all our clients on wholesale side are not paying taxation, and we are not paying any tax on the sales, wholesale sales. The only effect is on the retail side. So generally speaking, what we can observe, it's a little bit confusion in the market because we have few other fees also introduced or taxes. One is this sugar tax, another one is tax for the small volume in vodka. So we have a lot of discussions, and I believe it's not only relating to Eurocash, but to all of the players, between us and the suppliers. I think at the end, you know, what is visible in the even Polish statistical office numbers, the inflation will be kept. I mean, is going to be quite stable and relatively high. So that's what I would expect, that at the end all of this should in big part land in consumer.
Okay, so next question from Konrad. Could you guide on CapEx in Frisco for 2021 and cities in pipeline?
So let me rephrase what we said in during entering the Wrocław. We said that the Wrocław CapEx, it's around 2 million Polish zloty. So that's the CapEx we need to really enter the city. And it's so low because in reality, we are renting warehouse, and even we are using, you know, premises when possible, ours. I mean, Eurocash premises, which are existing. And in reality, the cost of the entrance, it's a really variable one. So much more you are investing on the marketing side and in the operational cost than on the CapEx itself. And the fact is that Warsaw model is not yet replicable to any city in Poland. So we are not planning to build any fully automated warehouse because, of course, the demand in all of these new places is too low in comparison with Warsaw. So I think it may come, within 3-4 years that the next city will allow us, the volume in the next city will allow us to go with the higher capex and the fully automated solution like in Warsaw, but not yet. And then regarding the rollout plan, we would like to be, in the all big cities probably within 2 years.
Okay. Next question from Michał Majerski. A few years ago, launching the own retail, you targeted EBITDA margin above 6%. Was it excluding IFRS 16? How do you see this margin both including and excluding IFRS 16 in coming years?
Yeah, so here from time to time, we have the discussion really about the profitability because our model assumes that we are splitting the margins and profits with our franchisees. When the model is well implemented, we gave this example in past and used the Rogala company, which, it's part of our capital group. That's why we can use these results. And then if you are calculating from the purchase price of Eurocash wholesale site and then up to retail sales of Rogala to consumer, the margin, EBITDA margin is really around 6%. So I can say here that, when the concept is fully implemented, the profitability of our stores is very comparable with competitors. Before IFRS. After IFRS, there's around up to 2% difference, depending again on the franchisee, because, if they have more stores, of course, we are spreading fixed costs. So this adjustment of IFRS 16 relating to the distribution centers is spread over the bigger number of stores. So the cost is a little bit lower. But on average, I think we could say it's around 2%. So then you have the number. Yeah? The issue is, I think, which we are discussing here, that our problem was really isolated and somehow focused on integration of own stores. We never lost profitability or we never lost competitive advantage in our franchise business, I believe. And then the story is more or less like this, that you have very healthy business of franchisees, and partly we can prove it because we invested in capital of these franchisees, like in Rogala, I told you. And by the way, FHC2, which we bought this last year, was it's very similar profitability like Rogala. So another example. And then, you have the integration, which is lagging from the original timetable perspective and taking more time than we assumed. And so there are two different isolated problems, I believe.
Okay. Question from Wojciech Knap. When Arhelan will be fully consolidated?
So depends on anti-monopoly office. We are expecting that, this consent should come with 6-9 months. Usually it takes like this. In the previous transactions, I think Mila was around 6 months. Mila was 4, and Echo was a little bit like 7. So depends really on the monopoly office. But as I said, I'm not expecting here any big issues with dispute with them.
Okay, a question from Michał Potera. I think we answered to this question partially, at least yesterday. Please comment why DC underperformed market leaders on like-for-like sales. Was it traffic or basket?
Very technically speaking, we were missing traffic.
Okay. Next question from Michał Majerski. Does combining all retail operations under DC brand increase your exposure on retail tax?
Yes, it's increased because, on the other hand, because we merge all of the own stores into one legal entity. So, of course, we are paying on the bigger top line. On the other hand, managing them in different legal entities probably will increase cost of operations. So there's no easy trade-off here, I believe. And from the operational perspective, of course, current structure, it's much more desired than keeping this, in, 5 different companies. And so I think that's the trade-off, which we decided to be more on the safe side with the costs.
Okay, one more question about like-for-like. What was the reason of like-for-like's drop in 4Q, both in Cash & Carry and Delikatesy Centrum? High inflation of tobacco and alcohol should rather support your group.
I can't remember right now, you know, so much details about this. And the fact is that cash and carry, maybe it's easier for me to answer, trying to give you the light on the cash and carry. Generally speaking, the lockdown affected the small stores and also, you know, the weather. We are not remembering, but for the first time, probably in 7 years, we had quite severe winter. So, of course, if you are looking at the segment of wholesale, when our client needs to go by car to us and, you know, paying for this luxury in cash, of course, somehow you can see the shift into the active delivery like Eurocash distribution. So I think here we had some shift between the sub wholesale sub-segments. But, you know, there's I don't feel there's like, you know, one big reason which I can share here with you. And I think it's also very similar with the Delikatesy Centrum discussion. In Delikatesy Centrum, I think that the issue was much more about the fact that if you are looking from the shopping missions, of course, you know, the stock up missions, like, you know, really buying on stock at home, it's done right now in Poland, mostly in discounters. And the Delikatesy Centrum itself, they are fulfilling this this need, but also they are fulfilling routines, like, you know, every day buying, sorry for this example, but, you know, milk and bread, and also, you know, buying impulse products. So in reality, when we were locked down in between Christmas and New Year, and, you know, in reality, we didn't have too much parties during the New Year. Of course, it's affected probably a little bit more the our segment, the segment of discounters. That could be one of the hypotheses, but if it's of any specific interest, we would need to follow with details afterwards.
Okay, one question about Frisco from Przemysław Staniszewski. To clarify, Frisco EBITDA for 2026 months, 3 months consolidated, and EBIT is positive for 2020.
Yes, correct. 3 million consolidated positive EBITDA. At EBIT, I think it was around 1 million.
Okay, next question from Przemysław. Gross margin dropped in 4Q 2020 versus 4Q 2019 from 13.7% to 13.5%. Can you comment on reasons for that and forecast for 2021?
If you are looking at full year, I think the share of tobacco, again, it's the same discussion, increased. And then the gross margin, which we announced very many times on tobacco, it's much, much lower. So our typical margin on wholesale sales, it's double digit, when in tobacco, it's, you know, around 2-3%. So if you are growing in tobacco, you have a mathematic effect of mix. I think that's the one. And on the retail side, happens something very similar, when in reality, fresh products margins are lower than the dry food. So when we are growing in the fresh products, like, you know, fruit, vegetables, meat, and cold cuts, depends, of course, on the category. By general speaking, that's this four will have a little bit lower margin than the dry food. And it's not bad, I'd like to stress, because in reality, we are believing that these fresh categories are strategic ones. And that's the reason why the people are coming to Delikatesy Centrum rather to other stores. But you may have this kind of the distraction. Internally, we are not discussing any big movements in the margin. If one of the previous questions, if I can refer to one of the previous questions regarding retail tax, we're assuming that whatever retail tax will be able to swallow within the margin increases, normal ones from the negotiation with suppliers, which we are doing every year. So I would assume quite stable gross margin.
Okay, one question about forecast for Q1. Could you explain more why like-for-like in wholesale was weak in 4Q that we answered? And should we expect also weak in first Q because of new taxes, lockdown, weather, inflation? The question is about influence of lockdown.
I think from the top line perspective, you should really expect, you know, zero minus, a little bit minus. That's what I can see right now. From the performance perspective, I not expect really, you know, the lower result than last year, because of course we have also all of these cost initiatives implemented last year, which are somehow giving us right now the buffer to perform at the profitability level. So I think what could happen, it's a little bit like in Q4, that you will have a little bit lower sales or sales close to zero. And the pattern was very similar in Q4 because, you know, we had quite weak October and November, and then in December we recovered almost all of the drops. And I think the same pattern could really happen in Q1. So I don't think it's very material movement at the end. Also, from our perspective, please remember that Q1 is the weakest quarter due to seasonality. And historically speaking, I think result of Q1 is somewhere around 15% of annual results. So it's important, but it's not the quarter where really we are doing or losing the year.
Okay. One more question about forecast for Q1. We'll be able to grab extra margin on beverages in first Q.
Yeah, we have in stock some beverages bought in the old prices, and they are not taxed from the law perspective. But, you know, from the group perspective, even if we have 10 million or 20 million excess stock, it doesn't make a big difference because we are selling per month something like 1.2, 1.5 billion. So it could be nice talk from my perspective, but, you know, we are not stocked like, you know, 200 million in beverages. Yes, so we don't have this kind of excess stock. So I think it's going to be non-visible, I think.
And one question for me, where can we find the presentation deck? The presentation is on our website already in the next to annual report. And this question from Jakub. Jakub, I'm going to send you 1 minute after we finish this presentation. Okay, so I think that's all. We don't have any more questions. So
apologies once more. Let me summarize. I really think it was quite a good year, taking into account how it started and, you know, how many uncertain situations we solved and, you know, adapted to the new reality. And we hope to see all of you next quarter without any, you know, technical problems. So
with Tomek.
And with Tomek, of course. So we come back to this eurocash.pl at the end of Q1.
So. Thank you. Thank you very much. If you've got any further questions, please contact me, call me, or just send me an email. I will send as soon as possible. Thanks a lot once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.